the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program for April 28th, 2022. This is Lou Caverly. My co-host, Elizabeth Covett Caverly, and I want to thank all of you listeners for your kind prayers and health tips to help my brother. About 10 p.m., April 23rd, Marty passed away peacefully and now is with his Savior. God's mercy, allowing Marty to have no severe pain, was a miracle, right up until the end. We also thank those of you who are contributing to help us stay on the air.
Tonight, we complete our series of April Deadly Fools. Lou has the first opening monologue, and you will find these two monologues at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Please tell others to go there. And also, we give thanks to the venues that carry our program, WWCR, and they have graciously put us on Mondays on 9.350 megahertz. I believe it's at 4 p.m. And we thank Global Star. We thank Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, and we thank KSTARTalkRadio.com. And after Lou's monologue, mine will follow. Lou?
Three terrible threats to America. As we survey the situation in which we find ourselves today, we find three ominous specters facing us. Each of these threatens to shake apart the stability of our formerly comfortable existence. If we do not confront these dangers, we may never again enjoy the freedoms we have too often taken for granted in America. On Thursday, April 21st, the Stu Peters Show had Maria Z as a guest. Maria reported on a meeting the World Health Organization held with representatives of many nations. The topic was a proposed pandemic treaty. If ratified by 70% of the world's countries, this treaty would result in the World Health Organization taking control of all responses to a future pandemic. This could include forced vaccination. According to the U.S. Constitution, any treaty must be ratified by the United States Senate. Of course, this administration would try to bypass that requirement. We must not let that happen. Maria explains that this is all about bringing in one world government. The city of Newcastle, Australia, has become a model smart city. It reminds one of dystopian cities found in movies. The authorities will have no problem spying on every resident. 5G towers will be placed at every street corner. Australia is the prototype for world government. Next, we examine the threat to our military, and thereby to our whole nation. Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long also appeared with Stu Peters on April 21st. The military leaders and the president have enforced a vaccine mandate on all branches of the armed services. This is an ironclad requirement. As Stu says, you can easily get a smallpox vaccine exemption, but not one for a COVID shot. Enough time has gone by that the ill effects of the vaccines on military members have become apparent. Normal procedures for obtaining exemptions have been barred, and laws that are supposed to cover such applications have been violated. Pressure from above is being applied to ram through the COVID vaccinations, regardless of medical or religious objections. At least one military person who refused the shot is being court-martialed. More court-martials are in the planning stages. One recent whistleblower stated to Stu Peters that in his last platoon, there were several soldiers who had become sick just after getting the clot shots. Stu remarked that the left wants the military weakened. This way it can devote its power to crushing domestic opposition, not foreign dangers. The whistleblower agreed, stating, quote, "The military now is filled with people who are just political tools," unquote. They are narcissistic, and their usual refrain is, "I am just following orders." The SS and the Wehrmacht members gave the same after-the-fact alibi when the war crimes of Nazi Germany were fully exposed. Threat number three is a very worrisome domestic threat. Many sick pilots, a frightening danger to all Americans using air travel. Mandatory vaccine policies of major American airlines have created it. A number of pilots have become seriously ill from the shots, some even while flying. Months ago, a Delta Airlines pilot suffered a post-COVID shot sudden cardiovascular collapse while landing. Fortunately for the passengers, the co-pilot was able to bring the plane in. Delta at first denied the incident, but word of it spread everywhere. This Delta near tragedy was not an anomaly. On April 9th, Captain Robert Snow suffered cardiac arrest within 1 minute of landing its American Airlines Demeter of Dallas flight 1067. Medics did CPR on him and shocked his heart three times to bring him back. A special high-profile team from Baylor University was assembled. The team included Dr. Peter McCullough and Colonel Teresa Long. 200 people were on that plane. If his heart attack had come just 6 minutes earlier, all of those lives could have been lost. Once again, the story was covered up. Advocate and whistleblower Joshua Yoder of U.S. Freedom Flyers, Stu Peters' April 18th guest, quoted one pilot as saying, "American Airlines coerced me into getting the shot." Yoder also reported that Captain Snow had no prior adverse health conditions. He also described the case of a flight attendant who suffered four strokes after getting the COVID shots. She told Yoder that she didn't think she'd live much longer. America, and for that matter the world of today, is in totalitarian crisis. This is creeping, or sometimes zooming, in upon us. If we do not raise our voices and fight back, we will lose our lives, or if not our lives, the future will be worse than Orwell's 1984 ever was.
Elizabeth? Ode to Ripley's Believe It or Not. Deadly April Fool's COVID 2022 Finale, Caravan of Cover-Ups by Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. Divided Kingdom Radio Monologue. This is the second one after Lou's very, very fine one, April 28th, 2022. And these are bullet points. April 18th, Stu Peters reports over 6 million people have watched the Dr. Brian Artis documentary, Watch the Water, that provided strong medical journal documentation that inclusion of cobra venom peptides occurred in the COVID, quote, vaccines. April 18th, Dr. Jane Ruby hears from a researcher who claims to have identified king cobra venom in the contents of a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine vial, quote, snake venom organoids, end of quote. April 19th, indomitable COVID investigator Karen Kingston gives Stu Peters a report from her latest digging into incriminating patents. She reports, A, the full sequence of the COVID, quote, virus can be seen to include elements from bats, mice, and the Middle Eastern virus, and more. We put in brackets, we recall, our essay that included Dr. Judy Mikovits's description of COVID that mentioned such things as leukemia virus from mice. B, two key figures appear to have been NIAID's Barney Graham and Moderna's Jason McClellan. According to Kingston, they filed the spike protein patent in April 2019. Amazing! How did they file this even before they had access to the sequence? C. According to Kingston, there is evidence that Graham and McClellan added the snake venom to the spike protein. D. In 2017, why did the NIH file a vaccine patent that in Section 9 states, quote, the vaccine in some embodiment can deliver a molecule of chemical weapon of biowarfare or a toxin. It seems an extensive network is in place involving these heretofore unknown Artist Cobra aspects of COVID. Kingston continues, A, EcoHealth Alliance's involvement working on 180 sequences. B, the University of Pittsburgh, and in brackets we have recall the 10 gunshots that silenced University of Pitt researcher Bing Liu, who was about to announce findings on COVID, took 38 European COVID patients, and scientists looked for the protein causing the, quote, multi-inflammatory systems, end of quote. These researchers looked for toxins. The PRA was published in The Lancet. They found the crate cobra venom and rabies virus, plus the HIV glycoprotein 120. And in brackets, we have questioning the gain of function. Again, that was the HIV glycoprotein 120. Bullet point C, Karen Kingston states she has the patent for the spike protein and that it is a separate patent from the mRNA. D, in addition, the master patent for mRNA, the world patent for Moderna, 0402, again, for Moderna, that is 0402, interestingly states it, quote, can deliver a toxin. Kingston adds, the patents say the vaccine is a bioweapon. E. Kingston recounts the strange reaction of Dr. Robert Malone on the Joe Rogan Show interview. Dr. Malone claims to be the inventor of mRNA, though other credible reports list two University of Pennsylvania researchers as having developed the mRNA process. When Joe Rogan asked Malone about, quote, gene editing, Dr. Malone laughed ominously and said there were brown monkeys that had HIV and, quote, let's put that into the mRNA technology, end of quote. In a later interview with Stu Peters, Dr. Robert Malone said he knows much more that he cannot tell for fear of losing his medical license. Stu Peters stated that he himself had had his home surrounded twice by a SWAT team, then caustically remarked on the many media figures and politicians too cowardly to bring out the horrific truth about COVID. The serpent story of COVID moves on. Dr. Ben Marvel, who has treated 15,000 COVID patients, calls for testing on Dr. Brian Artis's snake venom theory, for Italian studies show the venom peptides were in COVID patients. Marvel's opinion is that perhaps the venom peptides were not the, quote, main poison of the COVID shots. He remarked to Stu Peters, 5 billion people have had the shot. Astounding. In Artis's Brighteon.com interviews, Artis presented evidence suggesting the drug remdesivir includes as content freeze-dried cobra venom. Marvel responds, we need to test remdesivir to see if the venoms are there. If so, ban it. Marvel comments further, over half the world's population has been poisoned by the COVID shots. Dr. Luc Montagnier said half of those will die. And we point out again that Dr. Luc Montagnier, and he is now the late Dr. Luc Montagnier, he was the discoverer of the AIDS virus. So it's pretty interesting what he thought about this, that half of those approximately 5 billion people who got the clot shots will die. And I have to interject here, Elizabeth Cabot-Caverly. You know that I have been keeping tabs on the local newspapers' obituaries, the so-called celebrations of life, and seeing how many people from sometimes age 24 up to 70s have died unexpectedly or peacefully at home. And I got a real arrow to the heart last week. I was looking and I said a young woman's name. And I turned to Lou. This was a young woman we taught years ago in a small Christian school. She was only in her 40s. She died at home. We don't have any more details. We can't prove that it was a clot shot, but we can't not prove that it was. It hurts you in your heart. And we get letters, we get cards. I got a birthday card from an old friend, and the husband's brother in his 70s had passed away of cancer. All this cancer that's recurring because we know that the DNA repair systems were cut by CRISPR. So we're going to have to face this world that is somewhat dreary at the moment. And while I'm interjecting, Lou and I are beginning really to take the Ice Age theory seriously. The latest results we had given to you from NOAA, we're having all kinds of strange weather here in Maryland. As I'm sitting doing this program, it's 67 degrees. And just days ago, it was very, very, very hot. It was in the 80s. A few days before that, I think it was in the 40s, and I think tonight, Lou, isn't it supposed to go down into the 30s? I believe so.
It definitely is in Baltimore, and where we live, it's almost that low, I think down to 42.
And in talking to relatives in western Pennsylvania, they were bracing. So if we are in that solar minimum, like a dollar black one, in that summer, summerless year, 1816 occurred, we will be in the winters we're getting, and we have to think about that. We have to be prepared for that. But back to this log, we're getting these books, these shocking, shocking things, these extensions of our knowledge, and we pray you will tell us we need a program to grow, and that some of you will help us again. We are going to need most by about May 16th, $200 for Global Star Communications. So if some of you want to send cash, great. If you want to write a check, it could be $1, it could be $50, it could be $100 to Global Star Communications and send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 2169. The P.O. Box 28, and the zip code for Bethlehem, Maryland is 21609. So back to bullet point 20th. Doreen Ruby reports steep of content of the COVID-19 vaccine must be undeclared. So this means, she explains, we get time because we get different materials even with the same lot number. Lou, isn't that astounding that so-called scientific researchers are allowed to get away with this, and even for emergency use, that set of stuff not even have to be classified?
Oh, it's astounding is the word. That means that basically they have freedom to put anything they feel like in, poisons, anything. They could put cyanide in, they could put arsenic in, and there would be no recourse, as I see it, unless you could prove that it was a criminal act, which might be hard to do.
Well, we will see over time, when mankind rises and really gets put out, things can happen, but we don't think it's going to happen too quickly, perhaps, at this time. April 20th, Sarah Sugden, mother of an autistic son and vaccine researcher, reports that children have large, robust thymus organs, whereas elderly persons have thymuses that are weak and shrunken and can no longer produce new T cells. This may be the explanation why children were largely unaffected by COVID. Their thymuses could recognize brand new pathogens when the older people's couldn't. And I would point out that I once learned the thymuses in sort of your upper chest. And there was an exercise that you could do that would supposedly help to strengthen it. You would just take your fingers and drum on that, drum on your upper chest there for a few minutes. April 20th, again, Sugden, this mother, again, of the autistic son and the researcher, comments on the COBRA-COVID connection. Quote, the venom affects your cells in a specific way that allows the graphene oxide to communicate with 5G. So all of your cells have voltage-gated ion channels. Elements like calcium and sodium are involved, too. The 5G keeps the membrane open, and the graphene oxide cooks on your skin. On the skin is where researchers found spike proteins accumulating. The use of 5G shows the calcium in cell functionally. Does that tell you? And Dr. Jess, Andre Bert, my crony expert, met with her to discuss the research of vaccine vial contents over the last 6 months, finding her to work on extracting or administering the vial. Dr. James, the vials are still alive. She wonders also whether the Red Cross is of blood valence for spiral. And all that suggests that zinc tone may have fit to Cobra cause is there no fight of the venom against worse and the cause of the cranial and loss of insulin in COVID patients.
Again tonight, in action, in one of April Fool's Day, from Life and All, canceled by Homosexual Porn Act, by Matt Lamb, Thursday, April 14th, 2022. And I bring VERT conference hosted by Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development, and that is IAED for short, will no longer include by a home act the previous canceled after news, Michiana being questions about would be this April 13th pre-K and ground conference. The groups show up become the social media of TikTok for posting about a gay school, also on the internet called Chiana. It went on to say, one says nearly to explicit videos and photos of him stating and showing his behavior on its site and the new content here. Quote, the site of work to request for comment from Real News, but the National Organization did. Quote, IL, that would be Illinois, AFCD scheduled tell Williams IV to speak at a recent conference. Based on information made available, Mr. Williams did not speak at the conference and will not speak at a special conference. AFCD to the conservative news. It would say, ASCD supports educators nationwide, and we do that important work in partnership with affiliate organizations across the country. Illinois, ASCD is one of those separate state affiliates. While we serve our affiliates with resources and best practices, local affiliates develop and implement their own professional learning opportunities based on the needs of each affiliate's local community. Unquote. Next, the pendulum swings back toward the deadly April Fools. From World Daily, said meth institution pray in great queer. This is by Bob Unruh, April 16th, 2022. A report from Hope Rawlson at the blog for the Institute on Religion and Democracy has documented that the Duke Divinity School, which is affiliated with the United Methodist Church, have held a, quote, Christ worship service to pray to the great queer one. She revealed Divinity Pride, and this is in quote, Divinity Pride, a student group affirming the dignity, faithfulness, and strength of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, and gender sexuality nonconforming Christians. That all in quote. They held the event. The posting explained, quote, criticizing the church, Justice, our first year of the student stated, quote, in the pews, we listen to the pastor who preaches about commandments condemning those who disobey, predicting a future of fire and turmoil, unquote. However, Mitchell believes that, quote, we can become holy, we can become worthy, we can die, even if we remain queer, even as we discover our own queer God whose presence is within these walls, unquote. Renowned Islam expert Rod Spence in a column at PJ Media, it was inevitable that leftist divinity students, marinating as they are in the relentless insanity of the left's pet causes, would end up making God in their own image. Gay, woke, and whatever else the left is like at the moment. Divinity for the United Methodist Church, which is already like being affiliated with a Maoist. That is, gay, gender-fluid Maoist. You say that again. Maoist, that is. So it was the perfect place for a recent God worship service, in which participants offered prayers to the great queer one. Rawlson noted, Caroline Campus, a divinity student, opened the service with strange one, fabulous one, fluid and ever-becoming one. She claimed God is, quote, mother, father, and parent, and also drag queen and Jen Lewis.
Lou, we have to ask, is that biblical, that God changes?
No, it seems to me my Bible says that God is yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, I think so, and I think that applies to Jesus Christ.
It does, and to God the Father, to both. Now, she also reported in this, Ms. Roth, quote, a self-identified trans woman, C.J. Serbaugh, a first-year Master of Divinity student, defended gender transition as biblical, unquote. Serbaugh insisted, and this quotes, I would like to suggest this is trans text. And she cited Genesis 32:22-31. And this again is a quote. The passage details Jacob wrestling with a stranger until daybreak. The man harms Jacob's hip and commands Jacob to, quote, let me go for it is daybreak, unquote. Jacob responds, I will not let you go unless you bless me. As a result, blesses Jacob, gives him the new name, Israel. And I'll interject there. We have a little contradiction there. First, it says a man, but it says God as the one wrestling with Jacob. So right away, we have a little strange interpretation. But moving on, Serbaugh, Rawlinson reports, sees, quote, an example of a negotiated body, a trans body, which has been both momentarily injured and fundamentally blessed, unquote. She reported, also in quotes, Serbaugh compares Jacob's struggle to the experience of taking testosterone to transition from a female to a male identity. Serbaugh wonders, quote, how Jacob felt after the angel had gone, and if he felt the same way I did on the clear October morning when I learned to give myself a hormone shot, unquote. Rawlinson wrote, quote, Christian doctrine has historically defined the relationship between a man and a woman as the only biblical form of marriage. Yet the church is called to speak the truth and rescue the lost. Prominent Reformed theologian John Piper wrote, quote, no sin must keep a person out of heaven, none. What keeps a person out of heaven is the unrepentant pursuit of sin and the rejection of God's provision for its forgiveness in Jesus' death and resurrection, unquote. Spencer described the Duke event as a, quote, bizarre service, unquote, and it said the students, quote, have made a god out of their own proclivities, unquote. But he pointed out that they weren't even original. And here we have another interesting house began and closing. Ergo gave thanks to her God for his salvific sacrifice. Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice. Catholic University displayed a painting of George Floyd as Jesus. New York and another club. This again is from.
I'd have to interject that last week we went into some interviews with Stu Peters, several people who had a lot of information on the Jesuits, and there were Jesuit links, according to them, with Pelosi, with her nephew, Gavin Newsom, with people like Bill Clinton, and have we had a Marxist Jesuit coup in this country that was predicted by Captain Darrell Eberhard? It certainly looks that way, and the Jesuit theology seemed quite different than the typical Roman Catholic theology there. You know, with Nancy Pelosi, I thought you were going to say something about the crucified Jesus, but it was George Floyd, the rhetoric.
Converted to a painting of Jesus. New York Governor Kathy Hochul, and this is the quote by Mr. Spencer, Governor Hochul proclaimed in September 2021 that the unvaccinated, quote, aren't listening to God and what God wants, unquote. The Presbyterian Church USA, which is so far left as to make Duke Divinity School look like MAGA country, last October published a new hymn entitled, get this, and I'm interjecting that. I couldn't believe this when I saw it. The title of the hymn is The Climate is Changing.
Yes, and which university was that again?
Duke University.
Oh, yes. The heresy is everywhere. Then we move to a little more hopeful news item, LifeSite News, April 10th, by Nick Marmalejo. This pro-life hero has helped save thousands of children from abortion. Washington, D.C., from Brooklyn to the Bronx and beyond, Chris Slattery is being recognized for his tremendous impact on the pro-life movement after his diagnosis of stage 4 colon cancer. He is an amazing man who has followed the Lord and followed this calling to be a voice for the voiceless, said Brian Camper, founder of the pro-life group Stand True. The work he has done in New York City with the center is absolutely invaluable. So amazing. So it goes on to tell how Slattery founded the Expectant Care, and that's that network of New York presence that provide only pro-life alternatives to abortion, and they've saved approximately 43 children over the last 3 decades. So we really applaud that, and we just have to shorten it a little bit, but Slattery said, immediately murdered children, what actually got me motivated to dedicate my life to this cause. And so he's had a lot of legal fights, and he's had city officials trying to shut him down. Despite these continued battles and his recent cancer diagnosis, Slattery remains optimistic with respect to his health and pro-life outlook, and provided LifeSite News with the secret of his success and good cheer. And I think this, listeners, is for all of us, because don't think that Lou and Elizabeth haven't been affected by these dreary days and the holdup with getting our sale of our property that will help us stay on the air better. But we know that this quote is really applicable. Quote, knowing that God is on my side, that's my strength. Okay, Lou, I think you have something next.
All right. And now we hear from our transportation secretary. The man, one of our top contacts, claimed was rewarded for his help in guarding the opium fields of Afghanistan. The title, and this is from the Gateway Pundit, the title, Pete Buttigieg, kids will be killed if teachers aren't allowed to teach about sex and gender.
Woo! A big one.
This was originally from the Western Journal by Grant Atkinson, April 9th. Leftists have made plenty of outlandish allegations about the state of Florida's new parental rights education law. White House Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has made suggestions on Friday that may be the craziest. Buttigieg appeared on ABC's The View, and co-host Anna Navarro wasted no time addressing the Florida law, which Democrats have incorrectly called the Don't Say Gay bill. She said, your husband, Chasen, that is Buttigieg, is a teacher, and he's been a very vocal critic of what's going on in my state of Florida with the so-called Don't Say Gay law, which he says will kill kids. Do you agree? After Navarro went on for a bit about how this law could be offensive to Pete Buttigieg since he's gay, he responded to her question. Yeah, he's right, and I think every law ought to be judged for the effect it's going to have on real people in real life, Buttigieg said. In other words, Buttigieg said he agrees that this law in Florida will, quote, kill kids, unquote. This is ridiculous on many levels. First, it's a blatant attempt by Buttigieg to convince Americans that this law is an attack on children. In reality, the opposite is true. This law is designed specifically to protect children. According to Fox News, the bill does not prohibit teachers from saying gay. Instead, it stops them from instructing children in kindergarten through third grade about sexual orientation or gender identity of any kind. It should not be controversial to say teachers have no business instructing children under the age of 10 about sex. Second, the suggestion that children will become suicidal if they do not learn about sex at 5 years old is ridiculous. Children are hardly even old enough to dress themselves at that age. They are certainly not old enough to decide if they want to change gender identities. Many children go through a transition period in which they learn more about who they are in the world, and that period does not need to be tarnished by leftists forcing twisted ideas into their minds. It seems unlikely a child under the age of 10 would bring up sexual orientation or gender identity on his own without first hearing the terms from someone else. But it is possible. Even in that case, such a serious conversation should be reserved for parents to have with their children. Teachers have no place in it. Finally, the suggestion that Chasen Buttigieg is some sort of expert on respecting and caring for children could not be further from the truth. This is the same man who can be seen indoctrinating children in the documentary Mayor Pete. Ridiculous behavior like this is likely to cause confusion and mental strife for children, and that is exactly why Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill preventing it in schools. Buttigieg's argument against this law is completely backward. If anything is going to mentally harm children, it is his husband's woke nonsense, not a bill protecting them from it.
And Lou, do you have more there?
Now, that's all I have on that topic.
What do you have? What number is that?
That was 7B.
Okay. And then here's another deadly April Folly report. We're going to maybe shorten this one a little bit. LifeSite News, Jack Bingham. Saturday, April 9th, New Jersey will require second graders to learn LGBT ideology. It's simple. Governor Murphy thinks he knows better how to parent your children than you do, said a Republican critic. So starting in September, second graders in New Jersey will be taught the, quote, core ideas of, quote, gender identity and, quote, sexual orientation. Under Phil Murphy's new sex education standards, public school children will be taught these concepts by the end of grade two. According to the performance expectations section of the standards, second graders will be expected to be able to differentiate between sexual orientation and gender identity and, quote, demonstrate ways to promote dignity and respect for all people. The controversial move has been met with immediate backlash by Republicans in the state. It's simple. Governor Murphy thinks he knows better how to parent your children than you do. Alexandra Wilkes, the New Jersey GOP's communications director, told Fox News. And I think that's enough that we hear that. Do you have 7B?
No.
What do you have next?
I have 9.
Okay, then I'm going to move on again and shorten. The Gateway Pundit by Alicia Powell, April 9th. Here's the headline. GOP rep urges Arizonians to, quote, help stop sexual grooming in Arizona schools. Arizona Republican Representative Jake Hoffman is urging the public to pressure lawmakers to advance HB, that's House Bill 2495. Again, that's 2495, a bill aimed at barring public schools from indoctrinating and grooming students with sexually explicit materials at taxpayer expense. Hoffman crafted the measure after discovering books and other materials at school laden with sexual activity. Arizona congressman even uncovered drawings of children having sex or masturbating. HB 2495 would ban schools from disseminating any materials that depict sexual conduct, including acts of masturbation, homosexuality, and sexual intercourse. So this is so important. Hofstra University researcher Cheryl Shakeshaft studied the prevalence of sexual abuse in the public school system. Here's what she found. The physical sexual abuse of students in schools is likely more than 100 times the abuse by priests. The Arizona congressman warned, we cannot allow the sexualization and sexual grooming of Arizona children. And now we'll move right on. Do you have 9?
I do, yes.
Go right ahead.
And this is entitled, Gender Confused Man Shares Regrets Over Sex.
And let's shorten it. Just pick out some of the key parts of that, Lou.
I will. So he shares his regrets over sex reassignment surgery in this Washington Post op-ed. This is by Matt Lamb from LifeSite News, April 14th. A gender-confused man who underwent a sex reassignment surgery as a teen shared his regrets decades later for the decisions he made, and this appeared in the Washington Post. The man, who goes now by the name Corinna Cohn, said he wants parents and kids to hear what he says. And he goes on to say that as a teen and young adult, Cohn believed he would be able to adopt kids. But now he realizes the pang of not being able to produce children that are biologically his due to the surgery that he had as a young person. He said, it was easy to sacrifice my ability to reproduce in pursuit of fulfilling my dream. Years later, I was surprised by the pangs I felt as my friends and younger sister started families of their own.
And yes, I think that gives us a good vignette there,
yes,
of the regret that maturity might bring. It's not fair to children to disrupt them the way the leftists want to do. And now we move on to sort of a symbol, very ominously. In Australia, correspondent Maria Zee recently reported that $9 billion have been allocated by the government toward furthering of the detainment camps. Now, what do we wonder is still going to come? My word, these tyranny aspects that are planned for all of us. And while that's going on, we have kind of a toy here, I guess, in the U.S., but it's a symbol. The Gateway Pundit, April 8th, 7-foot robot at Dallas Love Field Airport watches for unmasked travelers, will notify law enforcement of potential crimes. A 7-foot robot at Dallas Love Field Airport is watching for unmasked passengers and will notify law enforcement of potential crimes. What could possibly go wrong? The robot, dubbed Scott, was installed last month to, quote, determine if they are capable of efficiently supplementing current airport operations, said Love Field spokeswoman Lauren Rounds, the Dallas Morning News. Scott can detect if a person is wearing a face mask and can detect behavior of passengers based on what they are wearing. And I have to interject there that we just heard an interview on Stu Peters for, I believe it was April the 26th, in which a dainty little woman, a very petite woman, maybe 90-some pounds, in San Diego went into a government building without a mask. And the background was that she had spent 8 years in a wheelchair and had triumphed over that in some way. We didn't have the story on that. But when she got in there, they wanted her to put a mask on, and she said she didn't have to. And she was strong-armed and, really insulted verbally. While she had a person with her, a man who was videotaping this, they didn't bother him at all. And the sheriff would not support her. So her message to all of you is, you must elect constitutional sheriffs wherever you are in the U.S. because they will defend you. So now back to this robot that could detect if you were wearing the mask. The robot can bark warnings at people and call the police. Love Field is testing out 2 security control observation towers. Oh, isn't that nice, Lou?
Yes.
One near baggage claim and another near security checkpoints to figure out whether robotic assistance can both help customers get around and warn passengers who are breaking rules. What are these future rules going to be? The robots can also, help airport security and operations. They can alert them in case more help is needed. The robotic Scott kiosks can detect passengers and behavior based on rules set by each user, such as the airport. For instance, people driving up to the curbside drop-off area late at night might get a series of verbal warnings that escalate in volume and severity. Finally, the machine can call police, notify on-site security, or even allow someone to make an announcement remotely. The machines can also detect flagged individuals based on what they are wearing, especially if they are in areas susceptible to crime, such as baggage claim, Reinhardt said. License plate scanning cameras can issue warnings to suspicious vehicles or prompt cars to move along if they've been waiting too long in passenger pickup lanes. Lou, it sounds like the other article, like your monologue, you were talking about the smart city, the template for it. Wasn't that in Australia, or was that New Zealand?
That was Australia, right?
Yeah, and so it's coming. It's coming here. Let's move right on to 11.
All right, 11. Is the Biden regime gearing up to commit mass genocide against Christians? This is by Ethan Huff, Natural News, January 26.
And now we point out, this kind of got lost in the shuffle, but this is so important for you Christians.
That's right. Actually, I gave the wrong date. January 16, 2022. An obscure Washington, D.C.-based entity called the Pretrial Services Agency, or PSA for short, has been tasked by the Biden regime with compiling lists of Americans who refuse Wuhan coronavirus vaccination, and as usual, vaccination is in quotes because it's not a vaccination, on religious grounds. Some believe this Orwellian tracking move will create a model for the entire U.S. government to collect the names and, quote, personal religious information, unquote, of all federal employees who make, quote, religious accommodation requests for religious exemption from the federally mandated vaccination requirement, unquote. The Federal Register reads like this. The primary purpose of the Security Electronic File Repository is to collect, maintain, use, and, to the extent appropriate and necessary, disseminate employee religious exception request information collected by the agency in the context of the federally mandated COVID-19 vaccination requirement, unquote. The Biden regime has not yet indicated why it suddenly needs lists of religious people who refuse to get injected for the Fauci flu. The fact that it has started the process with the PSA, which almost nobody knows even exists, is highly suspect in terms of its implications. Could it be that Biden and others are targeting Christians for eradication with this new protocol? Will it later be expanded to include not just federal workers, but also the general public? All right, Elizabeth?
Yes, and we point out to you listeners that this program brings you warnings that may help save your lives. And we have no commercials. We give you a lot of information, and we do need your help very, very much. So, again, if you could write out a check to Global Star Communications or put some cash in an envelope, it would be a great help to Lou and me at this time. Send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, it's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And now, here's another warning, a big warning. We saw, first of all, this article in the Gateway Pundit for April 19th. FDA launches investigation into popular breakfast cereal after numerous reports of people falling ill. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has reportedly opened an investigation into Lucky Charms cereal after hundreds of people have filed reports claiming to have gotten sick after eating it. Some of the most common side effects that have been reported by consumers include nausea, diarrhea, and vomiting after eating the extremely popular snack, according to hundreds of incident reports submitted online to the food safety website iwaspoisoned.com. Following the large wave of reports, the FDA officially opened an investigation of its own this month after the agency had received over 100 reports in addition to the ones submitted online to iwaspoisoned.com. We have to interject here that we don't put a lot of faith into the CDC, the Jesuitical CDC, whose founder went to the Jesuit Research University, Marquette, I think, in the early 1900s, and the FDA that played us all false by giving this emergency authorization to the COVID vaccines. But, okay, so maybe they'll look into the cereal. While the investigation is still in its early stages, the article says, the agency did release a statement earlier this week stating that it, quote, takes seriously any reports of possible adulteration of a food that may also cause illnesses or injury and would provide updates when they become available. Additionally, the number of people who have been affected by the mild conditions after eating Lucky Charms might be even higher than originally thought. According to the Wall Street Journal, thousands of people have already reported symptoms like nausea after eating the cereal. As of right now, even the producers of Lucky Charms have no answers on what could be causing the reports of illnesses, or if even the reports are linked to their cereal at all. The parent company, General Mills, announced it had conducted its own internal review and has not been able to find anything tying the cereal to those who have reported falling sick after eating it. Now, does this make you ask, is this one more thing to make us all uneasy? Does the takedown of America, the coup that came after the stolen presidential election, include poisoning our food? Unexpectedly, right before we went to the microphone, we heard April 26th interview of Stu Peters in which he was discussing this with another person he was interviewing. Part of the time he talked to Edward Zoll, an investigative researcher. And we find this, that we have now had a small plane crashing into General Mills in their production facility in Covington, Kentucky. And this was, I believe, about 5 days ago. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? General Mills. We were just reading about one of their cereals. Now, last week, we had a whole big food facility, Azure's Standard, and their whole place burned down. It completely burned down, and they were a food distributor that would send out oils and honeys and vinegars, things like that. And, you know, now maybe some of their sources will all go bad. But that wasn't all. We also had, in Salinas, California, we had I think it was 225,000 square foot processing plant. That's pretty big, Lou.
That's a huge one, yeah.
Yeah, for Taylor Farms. And there was a four-alarm fire, and it all burned down. Now, what's with this? The incidence of this happening normally is very, very low. These are strange so-called coincidences. And at the end of March, there was an onion warehouse in Texas that trouble happened there. And in Arkansas, a major fire where the manufacturers were producing hot pots. So we can look at the background. In Ukraine, there's going to be this shortage next fall of grains. But are we under something like the weathermen? Are these leftists going around, and are they doing this? Are they doing this to break down the country, to starve the people? Edward Zoll gave the illustration of what happened in Ukraine from, I think, the years under Stalin of 1932 to 33, and there the people were starved. It was really something, and 3.9 million people died. And, of course, Stalin went after the people who had been against the Bolsheviks and for the Tsar in, you know, a couple decades before this time in 1932. So we can see what Marxism wants to do. And Edward Zoll gave the opinion that there's too much documentation here with all of these fires and all of this destruction. You know, take to be coincidental. And we take that into view, too, along with the idea that we know that our government has been paying farmers to burn down their fields. So what in the H is going on? You'd better store more food. Lou, what is your next one?
The next one has to do with the Army. The Army may shrink to the smallest force since
yes,
World War II.
This is very important. You know, we'll have to hold back a little bit about the CDC wanting to build gun injury surveillance programs in hospitals. There's another Jesuit footprint. And about U.S. inflation, we'll get into that more next week. But go ahead, because this is so important.
Yes, this is from LifeSite News by Calvin Freeberger, April 1st of this month. Arlington, Virginia. The United States Army under President Joe Biden is poised to shrink to its smallest size since World War II. Amid a perfect storm of recruitment woes, economic hardships, and soldiers driven out of the armed forces for their refusal to take the COVID-19 vaccines. During a Pentagon press briefing this week on the Army's budget for fiscal year 2023, Undersecretary of the Army Gabe Camarillo announced they have, quote, proactively made a decision to temporarily reduce our end strength from 485,000 soldiers to 476,000 in fiscal year 22 and 473,000 in fiscal year 23. Military Times reports that this could, and this is in quotes, could leave the service at its smallest size since 1940, when it had just over 269,000 troops. Camarillo insisted that this reduction, framed as an alternative to relaxing standards for new recruits, is not a budget-driven decision, but merely a response to the particular conditions of a very tight labor market and the Army's ability to recruit and attract talent.
And we can see at the end of the article, I think you had a couple comments, it's just part of what? This breakdown.
That's right. The wokeness, the COVID mandates, all these things attacking our Army, our armed forces in general.
So that we will not have any protection here. We will not have a good Army. But the men of America can't be counted out.
That's right.
It's going to reach such a point at some point that cannot be counted out. We thank you for listening to The Divided Kingdom. We thank all of you. And we pray for each other. We pray for that Pennsylvania doctor that he will get more and more work. We pray for Marty's family, Lou's brother's family. And we thank all of you, those of you who sent medical ideas actually to us in the mail. It was a little too late, but we will look at it. There may be another use God has for it. God will use you, his people, and others to DividedKingdomRadio.com.